Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today in Getting Real with the Housewives, the latest details on Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman's split. Louis is letting loose on Joe Gorga. Atlanta is back, and we're breaking down the season 15 premiere. Plus, Sonia Richards-Ross dishes on Sheree's new man.
Well, Sheree is like the most beautiful woman, has so much to offer, yet she just, you know, there's always like a comma, like the guy, comma, you know, dot, dot, dot.
We got that plus so much more on today's Getting Real with the Housewives. Hey guys, Christina Garibaldi here with Us Weekly executive producer Mandy DeCamp. Welcome to Getting Real with the Housewives and welcome back, Atlanta.
Oh, you know, it's pretty good. I'm pretty into it. And I cannot wait to hear what Sonia has to say about Sheree's new man, because I can only imagine what she has to say after watching that episode.
Seriously,
I have a lot to say about Sheree's new man.
Seriously, a lot to say. Before we get into it all, like always, we wanted to see what you guys have to say about last week's show. RC4010 says Teresa is unreasonable when holding on tight to a grudge and her double standards. After a simple misunderstanding or disagreement, it's immature and she's crushing her younger brother's heart along with all the children. What mother does that to 7 children? She's ripped it all apart and she should leave. Joe has begged her to move on, but she won't, ignoring her true sister-in-law and praising the new ones. Is cruel. Shame on Teresa.
Oof. Wonder what team they're on.
I know, seriously. Tell us how you really feel.
Kikava 750 says, give Teresa her own show so all her fans can watch and leave us alone, please. Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad idea, you know? Let Teresa fans go watch a spinoff.
Yeah.
Get her off the show. That idea.
I'm actually like kind of okay with that as well. Like, yeah. It's surprising that like we haven't like thought about that, because it just seems like everybody, you know, so many people are divided about this. They want to see Melissa still on the show. They want to see Teresa, right. But something tells me they probably don't want to film together anymore. So right. I don't know. Maybe this is a solution.
It becomes like Vanderpump Rules next season. Yes. Like, we can't pretend like they're hanging out with Tom Sandoval and Raquel still.
Exactly.
So just like we can't pretend that Teresa and Melissa are going to be at the same events necessarily.
Right.
So it becomes like, when would they interact and how?
And how, totally. Yeah. We'll see. And then Will says, Frank Catania needs to wean himself off of Dolores. Paulie O'Connell is now taking care of her, and there is no way Paulie is intimidated by him. Frank can't handle the fact that Dolores is taken now, and it's time for him to focus more on his girlfriend named Brittany. It feels like after watching this episode, Frank sort of comes to maybe, you know, some resolution with all this. And I don't know, I guess, I mean, but they haven't been married in forever. So I don't know why he's still so hung up on this.
He's so hung up on it. And lunch or dinner or whatever they all went to.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's also like the girl Brittany's sitting there not saying a word. I mean, it was a little bit uncomfortable, I feel.
So uncomfortable. And the only thing she said is, when did you learn English?
Yeah.
After he lives in Ireland.
Anyway, moving on. Samione says, not a fan of Brandy, but she's right. Why are they all so angry at Raquel when they've all cheated and have been homewreckers? Sheena better hope the rumors aren't true about Raquel and Brock.
Mm.
Of course.
I mean,
Right.
I mean, yes, they have all cheated. It's been a messy web of relationships on that show, but it's in a new era now. Like, everything is on social media, everything. Like, we're just consuming this all the time. So any new information, people are just like so obsessed with it, rather than, you know, a few years ago, it wasn't really like this. It wasn't like an oversaturation. So I just feel like people just want more and can't get enough of it. Yeah, we love a good scandal.
It's so good.
So good. Well, speaking of scandals, let's get into...
I can't talk about this story. I'm so
I
sad.
Know. This is a split we did not see coming. Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman, they're headed for divorce. So she listed April 30th as the date of separation in legal documents that were obtained by Us Weekly. As we know, they were married for 11 years, share 6 children together, 2 from Kim's previous relationships, whom Croy actually adopted back in July of 2013. So according to the legal documents obtained by Us Weekly, Croy said that the marriage is irretrievably broken with no hope of a reconciliation. His documents state that the 4 children they share are in Croy's custody, and he is seeking the temporary and permanent sole legal and sole physical custody of their minor children. He's also seeking spousal support. They are currently living together, and he is actually requesting to keep their Atlanta house and is asking she be restrained from coming onto the property, which is kind of crazy after she vacates the property. Yeah. She, in her documents that were obtained by TMZ, she is seeking spousal support to legally restore her maiden name. So it seems like at the time that we are recording this, it seems like they both filed their own legal documents. So so it's still, you know, still kind of weaning through everything as of right now. We do know that they were in financial trouble as of recent. They were, it was reported that their Atlanta home was back in foreclosure. Mm-hmm. They purchased this house back in 2012 for almost $900,000. And it was supposed to go into foreclosure. It was supposed to go to auction, but that was later canceled back in March. So, yes. And then they were saying that they owe $1 million in taxes and things like that. So they definitely have had some financial troubles, which probably put a huge strain on their relationship.
I'm sure. Absolutely. I mean, I was shocked by this news. I really was. I mean, I would have expected this like right after they got married. You know, when they first got married, I was like, really? And then they lasted 11 years and like we've had them in our studio together. He loves her. I remember when they showed up, she won't take elevators. So I had to meet them in the lobby.
Yes.
Yeah. And we had to go through these like dark stairwells with no way out, which was scarier than an elevator to me, but whatever. But he made sure that she was taking the stairs because she won't take elevators. My point is they really loved each other, I thought. And I'm sure they did at some point. Clearly not this week.
No. And they had, like, you know, a beautiful family together. It seemed like, you know, he, like we said, adopted her 2 other children. And, you know, they had children of their own. And, you know, then their young children, too. And, you know, it's hard that they're going to go through this. We are going to see her on this upcoming season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I wonder if maybe she'll talk about any of her marriage woes or anything like that, or if this was relatively new because of all the financial strain that was going on in their relationship. But pretty sad. And I don't know, based on like him being like she has to vacate the premises, vacate their property, I hope this doesn't turn really ugly.
It sounds like it's going that direction. No. Let us know in the comments what you guys think. Are you shocked by this separation? Do you think there's any reconciliation possible in their future? I don't think so, judging by these filings.
I know. Well, Andy Cohen spoke out on his radio show, too, saying that he was totally shocked by this. Did not see this coming. Texted them, you know, saying that she was sorry to hear about this because, you know, obviously the young children are involved. But yeah, definitely a shock throughout Bravo Nation.
Definitely. Well, Bethany Frankel had a lot to say about this, as she always does. In a TikTok video she shared on Monday, May 8th, she said they've always been people who seem like they're spending more than they have. He's on a football salary. She's on a housewife salary. And they're spending like the effing planes going down. The thing is, you can't spend more than you make. She added, it's the old housewives model to get on the show. Make no money, spend, spend, logo, logo, car, car, house, house, bankruptcy, foreclosure, because you can't effing keep up. You're writing checks you can't cash. And it's gross. It's like, what's wrong with America? Yeah. The former Bravo personality went on to address TMZ's report that the former couple owes $1.1 million in back taxes. And she said, pay the IRS. You got to effing pay. You want to play. You got to effing pay. Mm-hmm. A lot of F-bombs here. Frankel told followers that everyone gets humbled real quick when the IRS gets involved. She said, these two were so perfect and we're so in love. And then when the shit goes sideways, you invited us in when it was going good and it looked like a fairy tale, or you made us believe it was. Well, guess what? We're coming out with you too. So no one's going to effing respect your privacy at this time, because there's no privacy at this time. I think I get particularly lit when people spend what they don't have. Not sure why. She's
overspending. Right.
She went on to note that her apartment was furnished by IKEA when she began her stint on New York Housewives in 2008. She said, I didn't have it, so I didn't pretend I had it. I effing hate all show and no go. I hate fronting and stunting. She loves a rhyme.
Yeah, like
pay your effing bills. That's all I have to say. Pay your effing bills. I mean, she is heated about this.
Very heated.
She's also speculating a lot, but yes, it does seem like a lot of this is financially driven towards their split.
How could it not? I mean, I can't imagine, you know, they were supposed to, their home was going to go in foreclosure. They were supposed to go to auction and, you know, I don't know, but who knows what was going on behind closed doors. But yeah, when you owe over $1 million in back taxes, like that's, I'm sure family dinners aren't so friendly.
No, definitely not. I mean, there's no escaping the IRS. So you got to pay up.
You got to pay up.
Well, actually, a few months ago, Star Magazine reported that saying that they dropped tens of thousands a night at a casino. That was typical for Kim and Croy. Mm-hmm. And that Croy's family voiced concern to him years ago, which led to a falling out. They feared Kim was leading him down a bad path with her lavish lifestyle. He was never like that and always lived modestly despite making a large salary in the NFL. But it's Kim's way or no way.
Yeah. I saw floating around as well that an old clip, I think, from Don't Be Tardy is when they went to like a casino and she lost like $250,000 at a casino and like barely blinked an eye. And it's like, maybe they did have a gambling problem. I don't know. We're all speculation, but neither one of them has spoke out. Croy did change his bio on Instagram to read now my ring meant a thing. So I guess maybe that's his way of kind of releasing a statement. I don't know, but I'm sure in the next couple of days, weeks, months, we're going to have much more information on this and we'll bring it to you as we get it in. But let's shift gears and move on over to Jersey because Gia Giudice revealed that Melissa Gorga blocked her on social media amid her aunt's feud with Teresa Giudice. It's just so childish. During the May 3rd episode of Teresa's Namaste Bitches podcast, Gia claimed she blocked me on my public account, my private account, and my clothing line account. Everyone can't even look at it. She noted that the situation is weird and later revealed that she realized that Melissa blocked her accounts and said, one day, I guess somebody told me she posted something about me. So I went on to go look and I was like, I'm blocked on everything. So I'm blocked from everything from her. I mean, why get the, I mean, Melissa had such a problem when kids were got involved on the show, when Teresa was talking on the show. So why do you have to block her on social media?
That is so true. I mean, it seems a little hypocritical to me. It's bizarre. This whole, like the fact that these daughters get so involved,
yes,
like a little bit cringe every time. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's not like Gia's that young anymore. She's not. Yeah. But it's odd that she's like speaking publicly about her aunt. It just feels weird. Like it's one thing for Teresa and Melissa to feud or Teresa and her brother, but it's always strange to me when the kids get involved. It makes it a little bit like icky.
It does. It totally does. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. All right. Well, Caroline Manzo opened up about how she maintains her all natural figure. And she says the secret is very simple. She's 61 years old, looks amazing. She recently discussed her workout strategy on an episode of her YouTube series, Food, Love, and Chaos with Caroline Manzo. Did not know she had a YouTube series, to be honest.
No, good for Caroline.
Everyone seems to these days, a podcast, a YouTube series. During a chat about cosmetic surgery, the former Bravo personality pointed to her body and told her guest, Isaac Mizrahi, this is all natural. Thank you so much. He, of course, pressed how she got it. And she said, walking, really just walking. The duo had been talking about the widespread use of injectables like Botox, but both saying they avoid them. She said, there's lots of lids for a lot of jars. Just go and be you. I'm afraid of it for one moment. I don't believe that any of that is good for you. When you're injecting it in your face, it's just craziness. Now, of course, she did previously reveal that she underwent a facelift. So I don't know, you're afraid of Botox. You got a facelift. Right. After losing weight in 2019. That was back during her son Albie's podcast, Dear Albie. She said, I just decided that I'm going to stop eating bread and pasta and meat and soda and cake and all that kind of stuff. I'm basically vegetarian, not completely, but basically. And since the beginning of January, I've lost nearly 20 pounds. But a side effect of the weight loss was loose skin around her neck. She said, it just freaked me out. It's not a matter of, you know, let me bring my youth back. No, I want to be the best version of me I can be. Mm-hmm. Of course, her latest body comments come amid the widespread debate about the use of Ozempic. So I guess she was kind of being clear of that. Her method is just walking. So
just walking. They do say that walking is some of the best form of exercise. So, you know,
definitely
Definitely. Hey, she looks great. She, in her early 60s, couldn't look better. Yeah. I'd love to know what Caroline Manzo would have to say about what's going on in Jersey if she was on the show right now. Oh, God, it would be good. Well, before we talk more about Jersey, we wanted to get into our Real Talk this week. And we chatted with Atlanta's Sonia Richards-Ross, who just on Sheree's new man. Take a look. You know, at this party, everybody gets introduced to Sheree's new man, Martell. What was your first impression of him?
So, Christina, I have to be honest with you. I did not watch Martell's reality show. So I didn't know what all the fuss was about. I thought, hey, you know, he's a handsome guy. Like, everything was great. And then I was like, oh, this is the guy from Love and Marriage Huntsville. And so, you know, there were more layers to the story, which seems to always be the case with Sheree and her men.
Yeah. Do you feel like she kind of always picks the wrong guys?
Oh, my goodness. She knows how to pick them. You know, I don't know. Sheree is like the most beautiful woman, has so much to offer. Yet she just, you know, there's always like a comma, like the guy, comma, you know, dot, dot, dot. But I'll be very honest with you, like the interactions I had with her and Martell were all great. I am rooting for Martell. I'm rooting for them. So we'll see how, you know, how far it goes.
Definitely. Is she happy? Is
that yes, right? She's definitely happy. Like compared to last season, she went through so much with Tyrone, and just, I hated seeing her like that. You know, she was sad a lot. And this season, I mean, she is glowing.
Yes, she is. Do you feel like Martell was kind of playing her in the beginning, or do you feel like he was actually genuine?
You know, it's a good question. Like I said, the very first time I had dinner with them pretty early on, they were like holding hands. There were no cameras. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't get that energy at all from him that, you know, he was playing her. I felt like they really connected and really liked each other. And that's my experience throughout. So we'll have to see.
We'll have to see. All right. Well, let's get right into it. Season 15 of Atlanta is back. Yeah. Let's talk about Sheree and Martell. What do you think about this BDE from Martell?
Just no, Sheree, no. Run the other way. The fact that we're on episode one of this season and there are already multiple reports of him cheating or, you know, being with other women. But there was a point in the episode when she said that we're not doing labels. Mm. So I was kind of like, well, does that mean he can hook up with other people? But then she clearly made it like he can't.
Right.
When one of the women came up to her and talked to her about it. So I don't know. What are you? Like, what are they?
What are you? And then also, like, he slid into Kenya's DMs. And when the chef came over, he was wondering if they were having a threesome. Like, these are red flags. Like, you go from Tyrone that just got out of prison to this guy. He's just using you to get on the show.
I'll say, right, like, as of this episode, I'm putting Martell slightly above Tyrone just because he never showed up for that freaking lunch that we all wasted our time on. But no, I mean, he has a good body. That was about it.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for Sheree. I just feel like she really wants to find love and she's looking for it in all the wrong places.
Totally. But like, also, why long distance again? Can you not find any guy in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Hey, no. It's not going to work out.
No, totally. It's not going to work out. And, you know, Kenya trying to be, did you feel like Kenya was trying to be a good friend and warn her about Martell, or was she just kind of stirring the pot a little bit?
I would say she's probably stirring the pot a little bit because she went from like not wanting to tell her at all to totally telling her. So I don't know.
Kenya is such a great housewife though. Like one liners that she comes out with. I'm so happy that she is back on our TV screens. She just brings joy.
Her.
And then Sonia did redeem herself by throwing a very lavish party without the Party City decorations. Yeah. So she told us in our interview she spent well over $100,000 on this party. So it's I guess she redeemed herself.
Yeah, I mean, I would never spend that on a 40th birthday party, but it did look like a fun party. So
it did look like a fun party. But and then this Courtney and Candy going at it. I'm still like kind of confused like where this Courtney girl came from, but Candy was pissed.
Oh, she was so pissed. I mean, I didn't see that big of a deal with it. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I just felt like Courtney was like, oh, like she was acting like she was within the same friend circles. It didn't seem like, but maybe Candy felt like she was like using her name or something like that. But Candy's reaction was over the top.
Over the top. What did you think of Marlo and her life coach, you know, maybe trying to, change her outlook on life? Seems like she's being a good aunt to the boys, but I don't know.
I mean, I love their little taco night that they made for their auntie. I mean, it seems like she's doing a really good job mothering them for her sister. You know, I think Marlo's starting the season off right, if anything. Yeah, you know, always good to start the season with a life coach.
It is. It really is. Yeah. And then circling back to Candy, it seems like she and Todd, maybe this is like a storyline for the season that, you know, she's just not making enough time for him and maybe he feels a little neglected. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and this felt pretty real to me. Like when they showed the scene or the, you know, I don't, we're not supposed to call it scene, I guess.
Right.
But, you know, the scene where they're all having dinner at her house and he's on his laptop doing like a table read for the movie. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was maybe it was set up for the scene, right. But like, I feel like it's something that's actually happening and causing tension between them.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it. But I'm looking forward to the season. I think it's going to be a good one. A lot of drama and some, like we said, some old faces return. Kim Zolciak is going to make an appearance. Cynthia Bailey. So it seems like a lot of housewives are coming back. So that'll be exciting.
I'm curious to see if Kim's appearance tells anything about this separation.
Right. No, definitely. Or if it sets the stage for a full Kim Zolciak return for Housewives, which
she needs it.
She does. I mean, she does. No, she does. She needs to get that bag. She's got to get some money. All right, let's move on over to Jersey. Kicking off, oh my God, Jen Fessler with these like celebrity bombshells. First, James Gandolfini. Now her mom and her aunt are like best friends with Barbara Streisand. I can't.
I love that they're identical twins still dressing alike at 80 years old.
My heart. I love them so much. They are fantastic. Yeah, that was such a great scene. And she seems like she's just a fun family. I really love Jen Fessler. I hope she
comes. I love her. She adds like a lot of comedic relief. She's not really involved in any of the drama. So I'm a little curious, like, will her character be, or will she be asked back next season? Yeah. Because she didn't add a whole lot of drama.
No, she didn't.
But she is funny.
She is funny. She's very funny. I enjoy her. And then like we kind of mentioned earlier, Paulie and Frank Catania having this dinner, kind of figuring out where each other stands in this new family dynamic. They came to a good place until Paulie said that he has a ring.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty shocking. Yeah, I felt like that was an odd place to reveal it, like in front of Dolores.
And in front of her kids, like, too.
Like telling her, I mean, unless I guess Dolores just knew.
Yeah.
Which she must have. But it was a little bit odd.
It was odd. It was odd because the kids were like, oh, okay, I guess mom's getting like engaged and nobody like, I don't know. It was time and place, not the right time and place for that one. And then, but it seems like hopefully everybody gets along after all of this. And what did you make of Melissa not going to the rehearsal dinner? I have some thoughts on this.
I mean, it's very odd. Obviously, you know that if you're invited to a wedding, you are probably invited to a rehearsal dinner if you're family. However, you would also assume that you're in the bridal party. So
exactly.
Maybe it's safe to. I sort of get it.
I kind of get this one. I'm like, it's like if you don't have a role in the wedding, why do I have to go to the rehearsal dinner? I'm
not rehearsing. What are you rehearsing?
Yeah. So I did kind of understand that on her before. And like, you didn't ask me to be in the wedding. Why do I have to go out of my way and, you know, be in the rehearsal, go to the rehearsal? I did understand that one.
Yeah.
Danielle kind of having this, you know, struggling with her brother again. And, you know, it feels like, and we spoke to her, she still doesn't have any type of relationship with her brother. And it doesn't seem like probably this being on the show is helping.
No, it's kind of odd. Like when I was watching that scene, I actually went down the rabbit hole of like Googling them again, because I'm just like, what is going on with this? Why? Mm-hmm. It's a little strange. It's a little strange that the mother and dad have both spoken about it on the show now. And like, he hasn't been on the show. I mean, I guess that's his choice, but it's kind of odd that he's being talked about, but we never hear from him. We never
see
him.
No, totally. And that kind of is like the whole Rachel adoption thing, talking about like the, you know, her stepson's mother, and like, you never hear her side of the story. That we've talked about that plenty of times, that whole storyline just kind of irks me. It rubs me the wrong way.
They're really keeping it going too. Clearly this is like her big storyline of the season, and not my favorite one.
Not my favorite. I did love Jen surprising her brother with the apartment. He just seems so appreciative. That was really sweet.
I was like, that moment like made me think, okay, Jenny is maybe a nice person.
Right. Yeah. Do I like her? Yeah. No. Like her? Right. Well, I mean, it is, I mean, you know, these people are in a place of privilege. I'm sure they're making, you know, good money being housewives, appearances, all the other things. And it's nice that they can give back to their family. And, you know, it seems like they really needed it. So good for them.
Yeah.
But oh my God, you know, we got Louis versus Joe. Like,
we're not talking about the elephant in the room. I mean, this like, is.
He is unhinged. Like, he is really mad. Really mad.
Different shades of red, like in your shirt right now. And it's a different side of Louis that we've all been waiting for, I think.
Yeah. I think, yes, you're so right. He's tried to like keep this together and try to be like cool, calm, collected Louis, and something is about to snap with him and he is going to lose it. And I'm still like, kind of confused as like why they're so mad. Like, is it the Pizzagate?
I think it's the pizza oven.
Yeah. Right. Pizza oven. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just, and for him just saying like he's so mad because he called Teresa miserable, like, that's not something to be like, I don't want you to come to my wedding for that. Like,
I think it's pizza oven and the money that he lost.
Yes, I think so too.
And that's what I think is the root of it. And I think he doesn't want to say that like he's that affected by money or something or the loss. That's my theory. I don't know for a fact, but I think they're not talking about it. And there's got to be a real reason besides just calling Teresa miserable or whatever.
Right. It really doesn't make much sense at all. But it was an interesting point that, you know, even Joe Giudice like called Louis and was like, Joe Gorga is going to make your life miserable. And it's like, could Teresa date anybody and he would still like hate them? Like, is it just like he doesn't want to see his sister happy? Like, I'm just confused as to why he has such problems with the men in her life.
It's,
I mean, they're not the easiest to get along with either, but
yeah. It's also like, in what world did Joe Gorga think it was a good idea to go into business with Teresa's fiance?
Right.
Like, just keep business and family separate. You guys have tried so many things in the past. Like, it doesn't work out.
No, it's so true.
I mean, most people couldn't have a business with their brother or sister. Definitely not the Gorgas and Giudices.
No. Yeah. It's like, you know, your relationship is rocky to begin with. Like, it's probably not the best idea.
No.
I don't know. But I do like, I do have to say, Louis, I mean, from what we saw, he has tried hard to kind of keep the peace for a while. Like, you know, but I guess at this point he's like, screw it.
Yeah.
I'm excited for next episode. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
They said the finale was the best. And I think that this is really going to deliver.
Yeah. And it's weird that we don't see the wedding on the finale, but I guess that's because they're doing the wedding special.
Right. Yes.
So
yeah, they're doing the wedding, I guess. And the wedding special airs right after the reunion wraps up. So we have next week's episode first.
Interesting.
Yes. I think we have the reunion first and then, I believe so. I don't know. Okay. Don't quote me on that, but we'll have answers in a couple of weeks. Yes. We'll have answers. We will be here and we will recap it every single step of the way. All right. Well, let's get into our social spotlight of the week. Mine went to Lala Kent because she had some thoughts on Kim and Croy's divorce. So take a look.
I just saw the news about Croy Bierman and Kim getting divorced. And I have to say, so devastating, right? Never like to see that, especially kids being involved. Makes me sad. Flip side, it just puts another cosign on what I want in my life.
Yeah, she learned she still doesn't want to have a partner.
I love Lala. I mean, Lala has just become this season, like, she just tells it like it is. She is not afraid to say whatever she wants. And I almost feel like she's like an Andy Cohen Jr. Like, she could host a reunion in the future.
Totally. Oh, she could handle her own. Definitely. What about you?
Andy Cohen. Mine goes to Andy Cohen. He posted a story of his bestie, John Mayer, who I'm in love with. Just said dinner date or date night, rather. He posted it with the song Mariah Carey's Dream Lover. I'm jealous of their friendship. And I just, like, if I walked into a New York City restaurant and saw Andy Cohen having dinner with John Mayer, I would be like, this is heaven. I went to
Can I pull up a chair?
Yeah.
Seriously. It really would be. What a fun date night. John Mayer. Love it. All right. Well, that is it for this week's episode of Getting Real with the Housewives. Let us know what you think about Sheree's new man in the comments. Again, once again, what do you think about Louie and Joe going at it? Lots to talk about. So keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we'll see you guys next week.